liked us brothers. She really did. She liked all of us real well. And let me get this. Can you hear me now? All right. Okay, we're all good. Now, you know what? I went in Pastor Storm's office. You know what I found? I found a whole pile of candy. And he's not supposed to have it, so guess what? I'm going to give it out. He won't know difference. Mm-mm. But I go from point A to point B. I ride trains. And I don't ride first class. You know, I can't understand why Pastor Storm got so mad at me Friday when he picked me up down in Tucson. I got in the car, and he looked at me, and he says, "Harry, you stink." I said, "No, I don't." He goes, "Yes, you do." He says, "Where you been?" I said, "Been on train." He says, "I know, but what else was on the train?" Cows and pigs and... I didn't think I smelled too bad. I smelled better than they did. But you know what? I'll tell you what. It's fun to be a hobo. Because you get to go all over. You know, do you know that I was in Texas last week? I tried to get over here, and the train just didn't want to come. The train didn't want to come. But I'll tell you what, it's good to be here today. The last time I was here, I gave everybody one of these. What is this? A hanky. How many of you still got your hanky? You still got your hanky? Oh, man. You got your hanky, too? You do? Wow. Well, you know what? Did you bring it? You didn't bring your hanky? What did I tell you about hankies? I said you always have to have them on you. Didn't I? What are they good for? Blow your nose. Yeah, blow your nose. And you know what? You can use it as a tourniquet if you have to. You know, it stops the bleeding. You know, it does a lot. Everybody should carry hanky on them. But you know what I've done since last time I was here? I learned some magic. I'm a magician now. I'm a magician. Yeah, I'm a magician. You see this hanky? You know what? I can make it disappear. Did you know that? I can make this hanky disappear. Okay? You watch. It's gone. It's all gone. Do you see the hanky? Yeah. It's all gone, isn't it? Yeah, the hanky's all gone. You want to see me make it reappear? Yeah, see that? Yeah, there it is. I got it to appear. Yeah, there it is. Yeah. See, I've learned a lot since last time I was here. I learned how to take and make hankies disappear. Do you notice how clean this is? Do you know that Pastor Storm made me wash this? It was in really bad shape when they picked me up on Friday. It had brown spots on it. Anyway, but being hobo, you get to go to a lot of different places. You get to see a lot of different people. I met so many good people. You know, a lot of times the people I meet have badges on. And it says police on there. I don't know why they don't let me just ride the train. I mean, I don't do nothing bad. I just go from point A to point. But you know what? There's a law against that. Did you know that? It isn't that I break the law often, every day. But I do sometimes break the law because I have to get between point A and point B. But I do it in a very discreet way. You know what Pastor Storm told me? He said, "Why don't you ride the train to Coolidge?" I said, "What?" He said, "Why don't you bring the train from Tucson to Coolidge? That way I don't have to come down after you." Have you ever tried to get off a train at 60 miles an hour? I can't believe how they go through Coolidge. Man, you don't have a chance. But you know, it's amazing of how how good it is to take and be able to go from church to church and see different people all the time. You know, I like to see different people. But I was telling you about my brothers. Now I got some brothers. They're really nice brothers. One of them is a crop duster. He's my brother. And then I got another one who he's a miner. I mean he's something else. And then I got one that he's an outlaw. He's an outlaw. Danger Dave. He's terrible. He carries a gun all the time. It scares me to death. He didn't know how to use it either. And then there Pastor Storm. Do you know him, my brother too? Yeah, him, my brother too. And then there's me. And then I got another brother. He's down in Mexico. He doesn't come up this way very often. There's something about immigration in him that just don't match. I mean, he comes up and all of a sudden they just take him right back again. He can't stay up here more than a day, and they pick him up and they haul him right back. But you know, he's a nice guy too. Someday he's going to come up and he's going to preach here too. But I'll tell you, I enjoy coming to Florence Baptist Church. I enjoy everybody here. And, you know, there's other places I enjoy more than this place, because Pastor Storm, he doesn't feed me very well. But you know what? I enjoy coming here anyway. But, yeah, I got some questions I want to ask you. And as you answer the questions, I got prizes. He doesn't know I have these, so don't tell him. Come here, little girl. She gets the first question. Okay. Hi. What's your name? Molly. You always just Molly. What's your last name? Alan. Oh, man. Hey, she answered that right. She answered that right. So she gets prize. See how easy that was? Wasn't that nice? You know, I was in the last church and I said that to a little girl. I said, what's your name? She goes, Harry. I said, no, that's my name. I know. That was her name, too. Her name was Harry. Her nickname was Harry. I said, why did they call you Harry? Because I got that long hair. I said, wow, that's cool. That's cool. All right. Okay, little boy, come up here. I'm not going to ask him his name because I know he don't know. How old are you? Are you sure? You don't look 11. Are you sure you're 11? Are you positive? Okay, I got a question. Do you know the Bible? Do you know it real well? Not very good? No. How come? Didn't Pastor Storm ever teach you nothing? Huh? Oh, okay. Tell me a verse. He got the noble verses. Good job. Here, I got one for you. There you go. Okay. That's good. You know, I'll tell you what, I like it when kids learn memory verses, because it's something that they'll always have the rest of their life. Once you hide God's word in your heart, you know, you don't have to ever worry about ever leaving, because it'll always be there. And someday, when all of a sudden you need to take and know God's word, God brings the verse back, and there it is. You know, you got it. So, you know, I'll tell you what, I'm excited about today. I get preached today. Isn't that cool? I get preached this morning in Sunday school. And little boy back there in the back, come here a minute. Yeah, huh? Yeah, huh? Yeah, huh? Come here. I got a question for you to answer. No. No, come up here. You got to come up here so you can go on the video. He's videoing me. Sure don't know nothing. Do you know why I know that? Because he sits in a corner. You know, she must have been really bad because he's sitting in a corner. You know, the only time my mom and dad ever let me sit in a corner is when I was really bad. You know, my mom would say, go sit in the corner. I said, okay, that's where I wanted to go anyway. So I went in the corner. Do you know I had some of the most beautiful pictures drawn in that corner? I think that's why she put me there. But then again, you never know. Well, I want to talk to you just a little bit this morning about a good friend of mine. And do you know that this guy I'm going to talk to you about was a hobo? Did you know that? He was a hobo. And I'm going to show you why. You know, one definition of a hobo is he is a person who can go from one place to another by means that he has no idea how he gets there. And I'm going to show you in the Bible about a hobo who goes from one place to another, and he didn't even realize how he got there. He knew how he was going, but he didn't realize how he got there. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Jonah. Book of Jonah. Now you know who I'm going to be talking about. And you know, Jonah, believe it or not, was a hobo. Jonah was a prophet, but he was also a hobo. And I'm going to show you how I know that Jonah was a hobo. If you take and you look at what the Bible says, it says in verse 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amos, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now, do you know what? I'm going to stop there for just a minute. I want you to see some things in here this morning. And I want to be a little bit of a help to you, because I think if you look at this very closely, you'll see how Jonah was a hobo. And I'm going to take and explain it as we go through it. But let's have a word of prayer first. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for letting me be here today. I just pray that we might get something out of this message today, that it'll be for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. But you know, the first thing I see here is that Jonah was called by God. I mean, how many of you ever been called by God? Does he say, hey, Maui? Is that how God calls us? No, that's not how God calls us. No. He doesn't holler at us and say, okay, you listen to me. You do this here. What's your name, buddy? Hey, you in the front row. Hey, you. What's your name? I know that. Because you turn around all the time. What's your name? Chuck. Okay, this is Chuck. How many of you know Chuck? I'm glad everybody knows him. Yeah, I didn't know him until just now. I just met him. He looks like he's a troublemaker. Anyway, what we want to look at, Chuck, is this. Is that God will call us, and we got to listen to what he has to say. So many times, God will call people, and they don't listen to what he says. They don't listen to his calling. You know, God calls us, believe it or not, out of God's word. You know, God said to me, he says, okay, Harry, you go to Arizona, and you're going to preach. No, that isn't what it says in there. It just says, go ye into all the world. Go ye into all the world. Do you know that Arizona is in the world? Did you know that? Did you know Las Cruces, New Mexico is in the world? Well, maybe not. They're awful close to the other side of the world. But anyway, but I've been there. Do you know that Phoenix, Arizona is in the world? Do you know that California, no, California is not in the world. Anyway, No, they're in the world too. But what we need to realize is this, is that God calls all of us to do something for him. Here we see that God called Jonah, and he said to him, he says, I want you to go to Nineveh, because Nineveh is a wicked city, and their wickedness has come up to me. They had to be pretty bad for God to realize that their wickedness was so bad. But you know, here we see that Jonah, this is the important part. Look at verse number 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarsus, So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice that. He was a Rehobo. He went and he got on a ship. Is that what God told him to do? No, God didn't tell him to go get on a ship. God says, I don't want you getting on a ship. He says, I want you to go to where? Nineveh. He wanted him to go to Nineveh. What did Jonah do? He got on a ship. You know, that's kind of like me getting on a train. And I go wherever the train goes. Well, you know what? He says, where's your ship going? He says, we're going to Tarsus. That's a good place. He says, I'll go with you. So he paid the fare, got on the ship, and away he went. You know, that's the way we do awful times too. You know, God will take and call us to do things for him. He'll call us to be a Sunday school teacher. He'll call us to be a deacon church. He'll call us to maybe be a missionary, maybe be a preacher. But you know what? He calls us to do that, and we sit back and we go, yeah, I don't want to do that. You know, that's the way it is. That's what Jonah did. Jonah said, I don't want to go to Nineveh. They're bad people. They were. After all, their sin came up to God. Jonah said, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go to Nineveh. I want to go somewhere else. Now, it's very interesting to notice this. Here was Nineveh over here. Tarsus was way over there. The exact opposite direction. And you know, that would happen to us so many times. God calls us to do something, and we turn around and we go the other way. We say, no, God, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go where you want me to. I'm not going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to go the other way so I don't have to obey you. And you know, a lot of people do that. An awful, awful, awful lot of people do that. You know, what happens so many times is this, is that when we don't do what God wants us to, guess what? He gives us a whooping. How many of you ever got a whooping? I'll tell you what, my dad, I think he got a prize for whooping. I really do. Because me and my brothers, I'll tell you what, we were whooped all the time. Do you know who got whooped the most? Dan. Dangerous Dan. I'll tell you, Digger Dan, he was always getting whooped by Dad. Oh! He did some of the craziest things I ever saw in my life. He took a piece of dynamite one time, went out in the backyard and blew a hole about this big around, about this deep in the middle of the backyard. Dad said, what'd you do that for? He said, I thought there was gold in there. That was the worst whooping I ever saw anybody ever get. But listen, what we need to realize is that God will give us whooping when we don't obey what he says. Look at verse number 4. It says, and the Lord sent out a great wind under the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and they cried every man unto his God. Notice that little G on that God there. I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. And cast forth the wares that were in the ship under the sea, and lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the ship, and he lay and was what? Fast asleep. Now, think about this for a minute. Here's Jonah. You know, I'll tell you what. I've been in this situation before. Have you ever heard of hurricanes? I was out on the East Coast one time. I was in the back of a boxcar, and we were going along. All of a sudden, the wind started whooping, and man, I thought that train was going to come right off the tracks. I mean, we were going back and forth and back and forth, and I'm going, oh. I felt like I was on ship. I was getting seasick. I almost threw up. I think I did throw up. Anyway, but what you need to realize this. Here's Jonah. He's on this ship. The ship is going like this here. The people are throwing everything overboard. And where is he? Taking a nap. He's down in the inside the ship sleeping. Now, I don't know about you, but if it had been me, if it had been me on that ship, and that ship's going back and forth like this, up and down and round about there, I wouldn't have been sleeping. I'd have been doing something else, but I wouldn't have been sleeping. We need to realize that here's Jonah down the bottom of the ship. He's sleeping. And everybody's praying to their own, what? God. Notice the little tiny G on there. If you see a big G in the Bible, it talking about God Almighty. If you see a little tiny G like that in there, that means that it could be any God. It could be the God of the fish. It could be the God of the water. It could be the God of almost anything. But that's what they're talking about, that little G. That little G, we got to be so careful about the little G's in the Bible. Because they're talking about a different type of God other than the God Almighty. Now see, all you intellects learned something today. Now, so what they did is they became you got to read verse 6. It's a good one. And the shipmaster came to him, speaking to Jonah, and he said unto him, what meanest thou, what? Oh, sleep. You know what? Jonah was a lazy bum. He was lazy. You know what? I've been in that situation before. I was in the back of a train car one time, and we were going from El Paso, Texas, all the way across the other side of Texas. We were going down to San Antonio. And do you know what I did? I fell asleep. I slept right past San Antonio. Here I slept 4 days. 4 days I slept. I ended up over in Georgia. I had to get on another freighter and go all the way back again. Now, what we need to realize here, Jonah. Jonah, he's sound asleep back in there. And here comes the captain of the ship. He gives him a good swift kick. He says, what matter is you, old sleeper? You lazy bum. Get up. We're going to die. That's what I'm saying. We need to realize that sometimes when we don't obey God, we put others in jeopardy too. Now, if you take and you keep going down through there, you'll see that in go to verse 12, it says, and he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that it was my fault. For my sake, this tempest is upon you. Jonah said, I want you to do this. And if you want to live, you got to throw me overboard. Because it's because of me that all this is coming bad to you. Now, what had they already done? They cast everything out of the ship. Everything that they were hauling from point A to point B, they cast out of the ship. Now he says, if you don't want to live, you need to throw me overboard. You need to throw me overboard because it's because of me. God called me. I disobeyed him. Now, you got to take and do what I say if you want to live. Now, this is really kind of a good part. So it says, so that in verse 15 it says, and they took him up, and they took up Jonah, and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Whoa. Now think about that for a minute. Here are these guys, grab a hold of Jonah, they pick him up, the waves are this high. The waves are huge. I mean, they're just coming over the side of the ship. I mean, it's awful. Then all of a sudden, what happens is they grab a hold of him and they throw him right over the ship, Chuck. They threw him right over there. And you know what happened? It says the sea quit its raging. How many of you ever been in waves before? Bad waves? And then the wind stops, but the waves don't. The waves just keep going up and down. And pretty soon they'll settle down. But it takes a long time. Now, just think about this for a minute. The minute they grabbed a hold of Jonah, they threw him over the side of the ship. And immediately, the sea was calm. Wow. That would make a believer out of me. I mean, can you imagine? Here's these big high waves just crashing over the top of the ship. All of a sudden, they take... What's your name? Yeah. They took her, and they threw her over the side, and it just kept on going. No. They threw Jonah over the side, and guess what? It just quit. It just quit. It just like that, the waves quit. And you know, it's amazing of how all of a sudden Jonah realized it was because of him that all this was going on, and what had to be done for him to get back safely. Now, you know what? God is really good. Did you know that? Now, verse 16, it says, "And the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord." Now, notice the big L on that. Let's talk about Lord God Almighty. And made vows. Now, the Lord, verse 17, this is very important. The Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 days. You know what? This is so that he is true hobo. He is a true hobo. You know, after all, here you got him. He's in the treading water trying to keep his head above water. And this great big fish comes up and swallows. He had no idea where he was going. God did. God prepared a fish, and it came up and it grabbed a hold of Jonah, and it swallowed him. Do you know what that tells me? Jonah was fish bait. Ha, ha, ha. Jonah was fish. I could see them guys on the side of the ship with a great big reel, just throwing him out there. Come on, fishy. But do you know what? The Bible says that he was in the belly of a fish 3 days and three nights. Whoa. Do you know what? It takes me less than that to get from Tucson over to Dallas, Texas. It doesn't take me 3 days, three nights to get there. Awful close. But it doesn't take me that long on a freighter. Freighters, they just right down the tracks. But here we see that Jonah was in the belly of fish 3 days and three nights. Now, when I'm in a freighter, sometimes you get kind of hungry. There's not much to eat in there. Oh, once in a while you see a mouse or something like that, and they work. But anyway, but here's Jonah in the belly of a fish. He's in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights. What did he have to eat? Salmon. No. What are them little things that you get in a can? Sardines, yeah. I can see him eating sardines. All of a sudden, here comes one of them little cans. He opens it up. Oh, hey. Good sardines. Yeah, them good. Oh, yeah. Now, I don't think he had sardines. I don't think really Jonah had much to eat at all in there. But you know what it did? It got him thinking. It got Jonah thinking about maybe he didn't do what God actually wanted him to do. Listen, when we disobey God, what happens is this. God will bring chastisement, or he'll bring punishment into us. Maui, what happens to you if you disobey mom and dad? You guys spanking? Do they spank you? They do. Does it hurt? Does it? Does it hurt? Does it make you want to not do it again? Yeah, it does. Well, you know, it's the same way as Jonah. Now, think about this for a minute. Hear him 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of this fish. Now, after 2 days, I would think, oh, it's not good. I may never get out of here. I mean, can you imagine? How many of you have ever been in a bathtub for more than an hour at a time? Or in a swimming pool? And your fingers start to wrinkle? You know what that's like? Can you imagine 3 days and 3 nights? Whoa. Whoa, my finger fell off. You know, what we need to realize this is that here they are, 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of this fish. Now, all of a sudden, Jonah, he comes to him sentences. Now, he's in there, and he, in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And Jonah prayed unto the Lord out of the fish's belly, and he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of the hell, and cried I, and thou hearest my voice." Do you know what that tells me? That tells me it doesn't matter where we are, God hears us. God hears us when we pray. Now, think about this for just a minute. Where was Jonah? Belly of a fish. Where was the fish? In the ocean. Where in the ocean? Nobody knows. Nobody has any idea how deep that fish was. Nobody has any idea whereabouts in that ocean that fish was. All we know is that God heard Jonah's prayer. Wow. Do you know, as I ride down the train tracks in the back of them boxcars, all of a sudden, it's just God and me. Now, well, God, you know, I'm kind of hungry. My stomach's growling. Could you possibly maybe give me something to eat? You know, and it's amazing. All of a sudden, the train will come into a town. It'll stop. I'll get off. And I'll go walking down the street. And somebody will say, "Hey, buddy, how you doing?" "I'm doing fine. How you doing?" "I'm doing fine. You look like you're hungry." "Yeah, a little bit. Here, let me buy you lunch." And they give me enough money for lunch. You know, I used to go to McDonald's all the time. They got so expensive, can't go there no more. Man, you used to be able to get a dollar burrito. They're $1.29 now. By the time you pay tax, you got a buck and a half gone. I went into McDonald's one time, and the lady says, "Hey, Harry, we haven't seen you around for a while." I said, "Can't afford this place." They said, "Why?" I said, "I used to come in here for $2. I'd get a breakfast burrito and get a cup of coffee. Now it cost me $5. I said, "Can't afford it." I said, "Go down the street, and there's a garbage can down there. They got good stuff in there, and I can get that for free." Now, what we need to realize is that God knew the situation that Jonah was in. Look at verse 10 in chapter 2. It says, "And the Lord spake unto the fish." Now, I don't know how God talks to animals. I have no idea. But it says that God spoke unto the fish. He says, "Hey, fishy." I don't think he did that, but somehow God spoke to the fish. And the fish heard him. Now, this is the really important part. And this is how I know that Jonah was a hobo. Look at the rest of that verse. It says, "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it" what? "Vomited him up." Oh, it threw him right up. That's how I know he's a... Can you imagine what he smelled like? Whoa. Let me tell you, you ride a freight train for 2 weeks, you smell just like that. Here we see Jonah, just a regular hobo. But you know what really amazing is this? Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah" the what? The second time. You know, sometimes when God calls us and we don't do what he says for us to do, he'll call a second time. But I don't really see anywhere in the Bible where it says he's called three or four or five times. You know, what we need to realize is when God calls us to do something, we need to take and do what he calls us to do. Because if we do, then we don't have to go into the fish's belly. We don't have to be free days and free nights somewhere we don't want to be. I ran into a man not too long ago over in Texas. He had just got out of jail. And him and I, we were talking. I said, "What happened?" He says, "I messed up." I said, "What do you mean you messed up?" He said, "I did something I shouldn't have. God told me that it was wrong, and I did it anyway." I said, "What happened?" He says, "I had to go to jail for 3 days." I said, "So you were in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." And he looked at me and he says, "What do you mean?" I shared the story of Jonah with him. And I looked right at him and I said, "If you were to die right now, where would you spend eternity?" He says, "I don't know." I had the opportunity of showing him from God's word that he was a sinner, that there was a penalty for his sin, that Jesus died on a cross for his sin. And you know what? He accepted the Lord as his personal Savior. I said to him, "If you were to die right now, where would you spend eternity?" He says, "I'd go straight to heaven." I said, "Amen." We need to know for sure where we would spend eternity if something would happen to us. You know, all the time riding the tracks and in the cars and stuff, I know exactly where I would spend eternity if something would happen to me. The Bible says that Jonah did what God wanted him to. In fact, the Bible says that Jonah made a 3-day journey in 1 day. Do you know what that tells me? He wasn't the typical hobo. He ran all the way to Nineveh. He didn't want to go back in that fish's belly. He didn't want God to chastise him anymore. And he did exactly what God wanted him to do. That's what we need to do, is we need to remember what God has promised us, and we need to take and do what God has called us to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for loving us so much. I just pray now that you would continue to guide and direct. Be a Pastor Storm as he preaches this morning. Father, I pray now that you'll help us and guide us in all that we do. I just thank you for the opportunity of being in Florence today. Thank you for the people. I pray now that you'll continue to guide and direct in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I got some more candy here.